Big exclusive though here, guys. Wait for this. The return tomorrow from 8 a.m. here on SEN 1116 of the Godfather, Mike Sheehan.
Bang!
He's back.
That is a massive announcement. We've been waiting for Mike, and he has said, I'm a big game operator. He needs a season to start before he wanders back in.
That's right. I'll tell you what else is back quickly, though. The return of the Torp. AFL Footy Ops manager Steve Hocking to join you guys very shortly, but he's declared the suffocating forward press might have brought back the good old-fashioned roost, which I like.
There was a lot of it on display in the JLT.
Especially kick-ins.
Yeah.
A lot from kick-ins.
And from a couple of free kicks paid in the centre of the ground where clubs went back and just went bang and got it in deep wisp.
Didn't it open up the game too when the ball just travels a bit deeper than all the defenders and even the forwards think?
Yeah, and you know what else? I even love it when it doesn't work. Because if you're kicking...
The chaos ball.
Yeah, well, if you're kicking forward particularly and it doesn't work, your forwards should be the first to react. And defence is set up for the predictable kick. And they outnumber set up. The outnumber is set up for the predictable 45-metre kick down the line.
How many Torps... I want you to count the Torps tonight when you're covering the game.
Tonight?
For Fox, okay? I want you to predict now, how many Torps will we kick tonight in the game?
I'll have a think about that.
No, I want you to predict off the top of your head.
I've got Steve Hocking, the most powerful man here.
Well,
ready
let's
to
ask
go.
Him.
Wisp. He's listening, and I'm not sure that's going to be high on the agenda, although he would appreciate it if it opened the game up a little bit. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Tim.
Good to talk to you on the eve of, well, you being the overseer of all things footy with the first game only hours, what, about 12 hours away. How are you feeling? Confident that we're in good shape?
Yeah, very confident, Gary, and really looking forward to it. Richmond and Carlton, the MCG, unfurling the flag. It's a great way to start a big weekend of football.
Good morning to you, Hock. What about the Katie Brennan saga this week, the way that it's played out, unfolded, where we're at right now? Are we going to learn some lessons about what's taken place this week?
Well, I think that the main lesson, Tim, from our point of view, is that, we've got empathy for Katie. We understand that potentially may miss a grand final, but what Michael Christian has done is ruled on the dangerous tackle, and it's the second time in the year in the season that that's happened. So it's hard to ignore that. But you know, Cody and the Bulldogs have worked through this week the avenues that are available to them, and they've got another opportunity today. So we'll just sit tight and see where that lands for her.
And there's a bit of a disparity, though, between the men and the women, isn't there, in terms of how this has been judged and assessed, given that, you know, due to financial concerns is what has been the issue put forward, that the second one for the women would be a suspension rather than a further financial impost?
Yeah, it is, Gary. It's a relevant point. It's certainly something we'll have a look at the end of the year, but it's important to also communicate that the AFLPA were really strong in the fact that they didn't want any financial sanction. It's landed where it currently is, but there'll be some work to do around that, certainly once the season finishes. And, you know, we'll look at a whole range of different things regarding that.
It's 27 minutes to 8. We're talking to the AFL Football Operations Manager, Steve Hocking, probably the most powerful man in the game right now. I haven't actually seen where he sits on this list that's out here at the moment. I know Gary's at 42. I'm expecting, Steve, that you'll be somewhere in the top 10. The runners, the idea that there was not going to be any runners or limited runners times that runners could appear on the field this year, and now we know that it's going to stay as it was. Can you tell us how that meeting went down? Because we've been told, and it's been reported, that Bevo was very strong and very powerful in this meeting, and the rest of the coaches fell behind him. Were you unhappy about their response, or did you expect it to play out that way?
I expected it to play out that way, Tim. It's a good discussion to continue with throughout this year. Part of the thinking behind the trial within the JLT, and it was a trial, it was related to allowing the players to play more instinctively, and the coaches, and I felt that we actually saw that throughout the series, and getting in front of the coaches at a breakfast last week, it was evident even beyond Luke. I think it's unfair to just discuss Luke. But the coaches made a point that they weren't ready for it. And I've been transparent around making sure that whatever changes are going to happen in the game, that we'd like to have that in front of the clubs as early as possible. And our preference would be around October in a season. So So at the back end of 2018, October this year, if we're looking to make any changes to that level within the game, we would have that communicated to them so that they can actually spend the pre-season adapting their game style. But certainly, if people sort of feel that the coaches have led the charge on that, I've considered that as part of that conversation, as has Bill last week, that they'd be a little misguided if they felt that that style of communication moving forward is something that would impact our decision making. We're looking to work with people, so. That's what we're trying to establish here, and we'll continue to work in cooperation and collaborate with the clubs and the coaches are part of that.
I think it's a great result. I think everyone should be happy the way that the consultation and collaborative discussions are always going to be the best result. And I guess to that end, I don't want to call it a super group, but we haven't got another name for it right now. But the discussion around this group of people that are going to be assembled by yourself and Gill and others are made up of club presidents, CEOs, coaches, players, footy managers and an AFL Players Association representative. Is that basically correct in terms of the makeup of it? And how quickly will you establish this panel of people?
Yeah, it is, Gary. That's essentially how it's going to look. The biggest challenge for us will be getting it to a level where it's a good working group. My phone and my inbox has just been flat out in the last few days.
From people volunteering or putting names forward?
Yeah, definitely, Gary. There's a real appetite for it. Clubs have got the ability to put names forward, but there's individuals that have also made contact and have shown a strong interest in it.
Is it a paying gig, Steve?
No, it won't be, Gary. It's voluntary, but it's it'll be based around really sitting across the game. So you're going to have we're going to have the ability to feed in information, in a variety of different ways around fixture and competition structures and so forth. The rules and so different groups will be invited, and even the fans. Like, we're really keen on hearing from the fans. And I've been contacted by a couple of different fan groups. Can they have a seat on it? The thing that we will do is we'll make sure that at different stages, if we're considering certain decisions, that we will get fans in front of it and talk to them about it. So it opens up a great opportunity for us to work with the key people right throughout the industry, being clubs, but also provide transparency for fans, because it's very clear throughout a season when we'll meet. We'll meet a couple of weeks before each commission meeting. But what people need to understand is that committee are making recommendations that will be put through to the commission.
Right, so they're not law. They're not law unto themselves.
No. It's really important people understand that. There'll be a three-year tenure on that. There's been some questions around what you do with coaches, because they've got the availability to be part of that. I'm working with Mark Brayshaw on that to work out, say, an Alistair Clarkson, who's very influential. How do you balance that against a younger coach that's just in the game, in the role, so that you're actually getting a good cross section of the competition, the teams involved. So we're really excited about where we can take this group and the level of decision making that'll go on from it.
How many torps do you think we'll see at the MCG tonight?
I hope we see a few, Tim. I think the three of us would be pretty happy to see that.
We'd love it.
I was really pleased. Yeah, I was really pleased with some of that we saw. I think Zach Tui might have got the biggest distance throughout the JLT. Down at Colac there with his talk.
He did. He smashed one.
Fullback. What's that?
He did. He smashed one for down there at Maui that went about 80. It'd be nice to see a couple of those tonight. Hey, Steve. We're going to let you go. We know it's a busy day for you. I've just been so impressed with the work you've done in a short period of time. Footy's in good hands, I think, and good luck for not only tonight but for the season ahead.